Opelka with Mike Opelka.
All right, this is Yvonne Brook filling in for Mike, and I hope you don't take it out on him, everything I'm saying here. Nothing I say should mean that Mike has endorsed what I'm saying. I'm sure much of what I say he would not. But here I am. All right, we're talking about false news. We're talking about media bias, and we're trying to get to the heart of it, the cause. What is really happening? I actually read a really good article about some of this. Now, it's flawed. It's got major, major flaws. And the funny thing is that the article itself falls into the traps that it is trying to warn us again. So I'll be quoting some stuff from the article. It's by Kurt Anderson. I've never heard of him. But Kurt Anderson, it's called How America Lost Its Mind. Great title. Great title. And he's talking about the nation's current post-truth moment is the ultimate expression of a mindset that have made America, some really bad stuff in the article, but overall, a lot of truth. It's in the September edition of the Atlantic magazine. I actually like the Atlantic magazine. Again, very biased. This article is a good example of that, but very intellectual and very interesting. And often, a lot of truth gets revealed in spite of the bias. And this article is perfect for that because he talks about all these things happening in academia and the decline of reason and the decline of rationality. And then he falls into that. He makes irrational statements and he projects it in an irrational way on current events. And his leftist bias, his ignorance of economics, his ignorance of history it reflects through. He's trying to fight against the phenomena he's talking about, and he falls right into it. Now, before we go on discussing this, I want to just ask a simple question. What is truth? Where does truth come from? How do we know when something is true? I mean, this is probably one of the most important philosophical questions ever. And there are multiple variations of answers to this, most of them wrong. And I'll give you then what I think is the right answer. So there's the idea prevalent at our universities and among many intellectuals that the truth is, to some extent or another, whatever you want it to be. That you are the creator of your own reality. You know, again, truth is just a way to oppress people. So truth might be racial. So it might be all dictated by the same race. We all have the same truth. It might be personal. Literally, every single human being has his own truth. It might be cultural. Truth in America is not the same as truth in Saudi Arabia, let's say with regard to how to treat women. Truth is completely in flux and completely dependent on us, on our own consciousness. In a sense, we human beings create our own truth. Now, to some extent, this comes from or is a spin-off from kind of the German philosophy I talked about earlier. If our minds are disconnected from reality, if what we see is not actual reality, is not actually there, if it doesn't correspond, what we're seeing, what our senses provide us and what our consciousness provide us does not correspond to reality, then anything goes. It means our reality is making it up. And then it's a question of how our mind, our consciousness is making it up. And then it's a question of how our consciousness and our mind makes it up and whether it's made up by our, you know, particular genes that are associated with race, particular genes that are associated with gender, or just the particular genes associated with us and individuals. But in any case, it's being made up. And this is the relativism, the subjectivism that is so, so prevalent in our culture today. So prevalent out there. And again, mostly on the left, but also on the right, there's a lot of this subjectivism on the right. Then there's the other perspective, which is truth just implants itself on your brain, whether through mystical revelation, whether because you read it in a book, whether because you just saw it. It just, boom, it just hits you and you just know it. Now, this has the same problem as the other approach to truth, because what does that even mean? And how do you persuade? How do you argue? How do you convince somebody that your truth, that you got from reality somehow, is really true? How do you, if it's through revelation, how do you convince somebody that your revelation is right and their revelation is wrong? What is the means by which we debate, we convince? How do we even know? And isn't our revelation in the end just our emotion? Isn't it just, again, just our subjective preference? Doesn't this, what's called intrinsicist view of the truth, which just there, some people see it, I guess some people don't. Some people have the revelation, some people don't. Doesn't it at the end depend on your complete subjective preference as to whether you see it or whether you don't? Doesn't this position just boil down to subjectivism and relativism? Just the same? Now, this is more common on the right because it's more common on, with religion, right? How do we know religious truths? By revelation or by reading a book. But what about people who interpret the book differently? Or what about people who don't get the revelation? How do you convince them that the truth is the truth? What mechanism do you use if it requires just being hit by it? No answer. So what we have today across the entire field is a view of truth that is completely subjective, that is completely relativistic, that is completely dependent on your state of mind, on your emotions at the end of the day. There is no standard for truth. Now, what is truth, really? What does objective truth mean? We will get to right after this break. You're listening to Yaron Brook filling in for Mike Opelka.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka.
All right, you're listening to Yaron Brook show, and Yaron Brook on on the Mike Opelka show, and we're getting pretty philosophical here. We're getting pretty deep. I hope you'll stick with me and be patient. I think this is really important. I think this is at the core of all of our problems. If you want to understand the world, you have to understand that our whole conception of what true is has gone, you know, is wrong, is being distorted and perverted. And that unless we recapture, unless we grasp what we're talking about when we talk about truth, then, you know, we're living a post-truth era, and that can only lead to one thing. Let me tell you right now. The only thing a post-truth era can lead to is authoritarianism. Because when you don't have the truth, When you don't have a standard by which to discuss the truth, all that's left is force. If my truth and your truth don't align, then how do we get alignment in society? By whoever has the bigger gun. If my revelation is different than your revelation, the only way to resolve the difference between us is who has the biggest gun. I mean, this is why the only way to deal with the Islamic terrorist threat is by eviscerating them, is by crushing them. You can't reason with them because they are committed to their revelation. They are committed to their subjectivist, emotionalist truth. And it's not truth. But you can't argue against it because it has no reference except their emotions. And you can't argue with emotions. And that's true of all truth achieved through revelation. So what is truth? What is truth? I'm going to quote Ayn Rand here. Truth, and this is from from Atlas Shrugged, from Galt's speech. I know many of you probably skipped Galt's speech. Go back and read it. Go back and read it. Truth is the recognition of reality. Reason is man's only means of knowledge, is his only standard for truth. Reality, ability to observe reality, to understand reality, to integrate reality, to use our senses, to be able to check, to examine, to think, to create concepts, to integrate into new knowledge. That is what is required to establish truth. Truth is the recognition of reality, recognition of facts. And to make the statement, one has to acknowledge the idea, the metaphysical idea, the axiomatic idea that reality exists. It exists. It is out there. And it is independent of your wishes, your emotions, your religion, your thoughts. It's just there. And that we have the tool, consciousness, is the tool by which we observe reality. And we observe it as it is. Not, you know, we don't observe it like a bat. A bat has a different mechanism by which to observe it. But what we observe is. So reality is what it is, and we observe it. Now, here's a more extended discussion of truth, right? From Ayn Rand. Truth is the product of the recognition, the identification of the facts of reality. Man identifies and integrates the facts of reality by means of concepts. He retains concepts in his mind by means of definitions. He organizes concepts into propositions, and the truth or falsehood of his propositions rests not only on the relationship to the facts that he asserts, but also on the truth or falsehood of the definition of the concept he uses to assert them, which rests on the truth or falsehood of his designations of essential characteristics. Complicated. Way over your head. I know. This is hard stuff. And this is part of what, you know, I want to say. Discovering truth. Discovering abstract truth. Truth about the physical world that's immediately accessible to you is relatively easy. You can look. Hey, this is a table. I'm standing next to a table. That's a truth. This is Yaron Brooks speaking to you. That is a truth that you can immediately observe. At least you can observe it, my voice, right? But political reality, political truth, scientific truth, abstract truths require rigorous knowledge, rigorous study. They require defining clearly concepts. I mean, even when I say this is a table, that requires an understanding of what a table is, which we all have implicitly, in a sense, have that definition. But when we have definitions of things that are far more complicated, far more abstract, like freedom, well, how do we define freedom? We all have different definitions of it. And until we get our definitions right, until we know what we're talking about, we can't even talk about what's truth with regard to a concept like freedom. Right? So truth requires both a huge sense of integrity in terms of knowing what you know, knowing what the facts really are, and the facts are corresponding to reality. And then it requires real effort to integrate, to think. And it's hard. It takes effort. It's not simple. And the more abstract the truth is, political issues, for example, are far harder than, you know, simple truths like this is a table. The concepts are harder. And then our set of knowledge that we're integrating is different. And we need to understand what are the relevant facts, which facts are relevant to understanding what freedom means, to understanding whether freedom is good or bad. This is hard. This is not simple. But all of that is thrown out. It's thrown out when we say the truth is meaningless, or we say the truth is subjective, or we say, as the French philosopher Michel Foucault said, that rationality is a coercion, a regime of truth that we need to abandon. Now, I quote Michel Foucault because he's an important philosopher, incredibly influential in academia, particularly since the 60s and 70s, particularly today. So today, in academia, this idea that rationality, that reason, is a coercive regime of truth, and add to that kind of the modern part of it, a coercive regime of truth applied to all of us by oppressive white males, then truth is out the window. Then we live in a society which has been educated since the 1960s on these kind of ideas, right? There was a book in 66 called The Social Construction of Reality, right? And they basically said, you know, all scientific truth was dubious. Scientific truth was a concoction by elites. I mean, it used to be these crazy professors talking about elites. Now it's the president of the United States talking about concoctions of the elites. But this is the idea that scientific truth is a concoction of elites. The rules, I'm quoting for this article, the rules of any tribe or society do not just dictate customs and laws. They are the masters of everyone's perceptions, defining reality itself. So white males growing up in a particular environment have a different reality than black females growing up in a different environment who have a different reality than transgender people. It's even their perceptions, even their senses are different. Knowledge we are taught is not real. There is no truth. What is real, they tell us, to a Tibetan monk may not be real to an American businessman. All right. So truth, reality is out. This is what we've been taught. This is what we've been taught since the 1960s. And we shouldn't be surprised that the consequence is a disregard for truth, a disregard for reality, a disregard for fact, and a complete bias. Hey, I'm a liberal, therefore I have my liberal reality. You're a conservative, you have a conservative reality. Conservatives consume conservative news, which reinforces their conservative reality. Liberals have liberal news and reinforces, I hate using the word liberal, leftists have leftist news and reinforces their leftist biases, their leftist reality. And it's all reality and it's all legit. And now it's just, how do we decide between the two? Who has the most votes? Who has the most power? Who has the biggest gun? That's who gets to decide what facts and reality actually are. And that's where we live today. That's where we are today. All right. We are going to take another break. You are listening to the Yaron Brook on the Michael Pelka Show. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka.
Part of the next generation of talk radio on the Blaze Radio Network.
It just amazes me how time just runs here, right? I mean, I haven't even started on this topic. And we'll have to continue tomorrow because, you know, we've got Alex Epstein to talk about climate change and Al Gore's documentary movie coming up at the top of the hour. And we're going to devote the last hour to that. These issues of truth will come up there as well. But, man, this is a big topic, trying to cover it quickly. But the important thing to remember, it's truth is the recognition of reality. And the only tool we have to identify reality, understand what is true, is our reason, is our rational faculty. Now, that's hard. The recognition of truth is hard, and we're going to disagree. What do? We argue. We debate. We argue and debate based on the idea of facts. You might have a completely different set of facts, of context. You might have a different context than mine. And you have come to a different conclusion than I have come to. How do we achieve agreement? How do we find the truth? Well, you present your facts. I present my fact. I present my facts. We resolve any contradictions. We each expand because you might have experienced things that I have not experienced, or you might know of things that I do not know. You might have seen things that I have not seen, or you might have thought of stuff that I have not thought of. And we share that. We debate it. We discuss it. We resolve contradictions, because the one rule of logic is contradictions do not exist. And through that process, we both benefit and we both discover the truth. So the fact that the truth is out in reality doesn't mean we all get it immediately. This is not about the truth implanting itself in our brain. This is about discovering truth, which requires effort. And the more abstract the truth is, the more effort is required. And we're going to make mistakes. But the way to resolve mistakes is by going back to reality. The way to resolve mistakes is by looking at more facts and by making sure our integrations do not contradict, that we've used logic properly. And even then we can make mistakes. And even then somebody else coming to us and saying, hey, I think you made a mistake, is incredibly helpful. I always say the two attitudes towards somebody who says you are wrong, if you have any kind of self-esteem, the two attitudes towards somebody who says you are wrong. They might be right. They might be wrong about me being wrong. If they're right, then the only proper response, if somebody says you're wrong and then shows me why I'm wrong, is to say, thank you. Thank you. Truth is amazing. I always want to move towards, to move towards more knowledge. So if somebody can correct a mistake I've made, thank you. That's wonderful. And if they're wrong about thinking I'm wrong, then why do I care? Then that's their problem. I might try to convince them that they're wrong, but at the end of the day, they have a problem. You know, they hold an untruth. They hold a falsehood. So we should all in life be, in whatever realm we are, in whatever realm we live, in whatever our ability is, in whatever profession we have, if we're going to do one thing in life, we should be truth seekers. We should look for the truth. There's no other way to live a good life. You can't live a good life based on falsehoods. You can't live a good life based on emotions. You can't live a good life based on revelation. A good life comes from examining reality, from gaining knowledge, from examining and integrating that knowledge and applying it consciously to living your life. We all should be truth seekers. We should all be little scientists applying the scientific method, if you will, to our own lives, to our own experiences, to our day-to-day lives. That's what life is about, in my view. That's what life is about. If you're interested in this topic, if you want to delve deeper, I encourage you to read Ayn Rand. Atlas Shrugged, but also she has a great book on this issue, on the issue of truth, on the issue of knowledge, called Introduction to Objectivist Epistemology. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Alex Epstein of the Center for Industrial Progress. We're going to talk about Al Gore's new movie and about climate change more broadly. You're listening to Ron Brooks Show on Pure Opelka.
Pure Opelka. With Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.